Little boy wanted a watch for Christmas, and he wanted it bad. Each day that boy would ask about his watch. Dad, can I please have a watch? Mom, I really want a watch. Every time he opened his mouth, he was asking about it again or talking about it again. Finally, the father told the boy if he mentioned watch one more time, he wasn't going to get one. So the boy kept quiet about his present until that night at supper. His family had a tradition that when they gathered around the table, before they ate, each member of the family would quote the verse that they were memorizing at the time. Something that they had worked on for years. The kid was used to it each time. You'd quote that for the family so they could encourage you. You'd learn your Bible verses. So that night at supper, the boy was eager to share the verse he had memorized that day. So just before they prayed, he recited Mark 13:37. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. This is a fun time of year as we anticipate Christmas. We look forward to Christmas. There's an anticipation that builds. I remember well when I was a kid. It was about this time that presents started showing up under the tree. And you know, I kept a daily tally of who had which presents under the tree. How many were for me, and how many were for David, and how many were for what's his name? Richard. I kept a running total, see what Nancy was getting, what Mom was getting. And I couldn't wait until we could finally open those presents. We had a tradition where we did, on Christmas Eve, we read the Christmas story, and we'd read other Christmas things, and sometimes we'd sing a little bit, and we'd sit around the fireplace. And growing up in Central Texas, we almost never had a fire there, but it was a nice thing to think about at Christmas. We were around the fireplace, you know. Then we'd get up on Christmas morning. That's when we opened all of our gifts, our presents, the stockings, and all the whole thing. Lisa grew up with a different tradition. In her family, the gifts that family members gave to each other, you open on Christmas Eve. And then on Christmas Day, there were gifts from Santa and the stockings and things like that. So we got married. We had two different traditions. We kind of had to decide, which one are we going to go with? I mean, y'all have done it wrong all these years. And, well, it didn't take me very long to decide. I mean, it's pretty easy, isn't it? Do I wait until Christmas morning, or do I get my stuff on Christmas Eve? So we went with her tradition pretty quick. Man, you don't want to have to wait any longer. You've been waiting all this time. It's exciting. You don't want to have to wait. You know, that's been a big thing for us along through the years. Even when Ashley knew what she was going to get, she had to wait until Christmas to really get it. You know, even when she's 17 and she's already picked out her own boots, she doesn't get to wear those boots until Christmas. At least that, in theory. Because we're waiting until that day. I want to share with you this morning three Christmas gifts that you don't have to wait to open. There are three gifts from God directly related to Christmas that you can open right now, today, and you don't have to wait until Christmas. To help us with that, I want to encourage you to look with me at that traditional Christmas story in Luke chapter 2. We're going to find here three gifts that God gave us through the birth of Christ. three gifts that we can have right now, today. You know the story. The decree goes out from Caesar Augustus. The census is going to be taken, and so everybody has to go to their hometown. And for Joseph, that means a trip from Nazareth to Bethlehem. And so they begin this journey to Bethlehem. And when they arrive, there's no room for them. And so somebody says, well, you can stay in the barn out back. And they go out and stay in the barn out back. And when it's time for Jesus to be born, they put hay in the feeding trough and lay the king of all creation on top of hay in a feeding trough for animals. And if we pick up the story in Luke 2 at verse 8, there's kind of a change in scenery. That's what's been happening in Bethlehem. But at the same time, there's been another story unfolding outside of Bethlehem in verse 8. And in the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in their fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. The angel said to them, "Do not be afraid." And that is one of the greatest gifts. It's a great gift at Christmas, and it's a gift that we don't have to wait to open. Freedom from fear. We can understand why the shepherds are out there on the hillside watching the sheep. I kind of imagine things are kind of calm and quiet. You know, they can't hear the traffic from the highway. Everything is kind of still, nice, and peaceful. You get this pastoral picture in your mind. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, this creature that they've never seen before appears. And the place fills with light, this kind of a Shekinah glory. The glory of the Lord fills the place. And certainly they're afraid, and so would you be, by the way. They're scared. It says they're terrified. And the first thing the angel says is, "Don't be afraid." He knows that they're going to be scared. He can see it on their faces. And so he says, "It's okay. Don't be afraid." It's an interesting study to go through the scriptures and see how many times angels start conversations that way. "Don't be afraid. I know I'm weird looking to you, but hang in there, you know. Don't be afraid." It's a message from God to people who benefit from the birth of His Son. It's a message directly from God to folks at Christmas. You don't have to be scared. You know, everybody's scared of something. Some folks are scared of heights. Some folks are scared of spiders. Some folks are scared of snakes. Some folks are scared of running out of Dr. Pepper. There's all kinds of things you can be scared of. You know, they did a study recently, and they said they found out what people are scared of. They found out that number 7 in the top 10 list of what everybody's scared of, number 7 was the fear of dying. That's all the way down at number 7. You know what number 1 was? The greatest fear that most people have? The fear of speaking in public. Isn't that interesting? I never thought of that. That would be the top-ranked thing. We're all scared of stuff. All of us. We all have fear, and there are different ways to deal with fear. Sometimes the right way to deal with a fear is to get away from it. For example, a rattlesnake. You're scared of a rattlesnake? You're smart. Just go ahead and move on and let the rattlesnake have his way. But there are other fears that we have to face, that we have to walk right up to and deal with or that fear will get us. Well, now that we know Jesus has been born, now that God has come to be with us, and Jesus followed through and died on the cross, now there are a couple of fears that we don't ever have to worry about. We could list a whole lot of them, but just for time, I want to talk about two fears that we don't have to worry about now that Jesus has come. And the first one is the fear of the future. We don't have to be afraid of tomorrow. You know what that is, fear of the future? That's what you and I call worry. Worrying is fearing what might happen in the future. It might be short-term in the next minute. It might be long-term in a year. But that's what worry is. We're afraid of what might happen. And I wanted to show you what Jesus said when he came. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you'll eat, what you drink, about your body, what you'll wear. Jesus says, don't worry about stuff. Boy, that sounds good. But how can he say that? How can he tell me not to worry? Because in that very same conversation, just a few verses later, he says, for your heavenly Father knows that you need those things. See, we don't have to worry. We don't have to fear the future because we have a God who knows our needs better than we know them, and he knows how to meet them better than we do. We have a God who already saw tomorrow. He knows what's coming, and it's not going to surprise him, and he can take care of us. We don't have to fear the future. And we can open that gift of freedom from fear right now. Jesus was born to remind us of God's love for us, a love that frees us from fear by giving us confidence that God can take care of our tomorrows. That includes another fear that he offers us freedom from, and that's the fear of death. We don't have to be afraid of death. Hebrews talks about that specifically, and it says that folks have been afraid of death all throughout history. But now that Jesus has come, we don't have to fear it anymore. Jesus himself said
When you have time, look up John 11.
Yeah, that's it. The text is wrong at the bottom. But this is it. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. This is in John. I am the resurrection and the life. You know what happened? Lazarus died. Jesus wasn't there. Jesus got there after Lazarus was dead. Jesus is talking to Mary and Martha. He's comforting them. And he says to her, I am the resurrection and the life. She said, I know Lazarus is going to come back to life someday in the resurrection. And Jesus says, you don't get it. It's not about waiting until he comes back to life in the resurrection. I am the resurrection. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. We don't have to be afraid of the grave. Psalm 27 says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? If God is my God, if the Lord is my Lord, if the King of Kings is my King, who do I have to be afraid of? I don't have to fear the future. I don't have to fear death. Not because I'm strong enough, but because he is my stronghold. Because I can trust in the one who already saw tomorrow. One of the gifts at Christmas that we can open without having to wait is the freedom from fear. Another gift that we can open today without having to wait for Christmas to get here. A Christmas gift we can open right now is the joy of salvation.
You know why there's not more joy in our world? Why there's not more happiness, more lasting sense of well-being and joy? You know why that's not more prevalent? Because sin messed up this world. Sin messed it up. Everything fell. Everything got messed up. We make stupid choices. We hurt each other. Disease comes in. Our world has been infected because of sin. One of the results is joy has been diminished. But what you and I learn is if we take care of that sin problem in our lives, in our personal lives, we can find that joy of our salvation. Here he says in our original text back in Luke 2 at verse 10, the angel said, "Do not be afraid." Why? "For behold, I bring you good news of a great joy, which shall be for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord." The angel says, "I got some good news for you. I got good news, and the good news is that Jesus has been born. A Savior has been born." You and I know this story so well that perhaps we miss the impact of it. But when the angel said to these people who had heard their whole lives that one of these days, out there in the future, Messiah is going to come, I mean, that had been going on for generations. Shall we even say centuries? People have been waiting for Messiah someday, way out there in the future. And now imagine the joy when he says, "Hey guys, shepherds, you're the ones who get to experience it. He's here. Go find him." Imagine the joy that they experience. Jesus brought with him the gift of acceptance and adoption by God. When Jesus was born, he ushered in the way that we can come to know God, that we can be reunited with him again. And not only that we get our sins forgiven, but God says, "Now I'm adopting you into my family. You are now my child, a joint heir with the firstborn, Jesus Christ." That's just amazing. I think maybe we take our salvation for granted sometimes and we lose the joy of it because we don't think about the power of it. That I once was lost in sin, but Jesus took me in. It's amazing when we consider what he's done for us. The joy of our salvation is a gift that we can open right now. If you've never experienced assurance of salvation, you don't know for sure that you've been forgiven of your sin, that Jesus has come into your life, then you're missing one of the points of Christmas. Today, you can accept that gift, that free gift of eternal life, just by saying, "I believe that Jesus was who he said he was. I know that I'm a sinner and I need to be forgiven. And I need Jesus to come into my life and make me who he wants me to be." And with that kind of a commitment, what happens is sin is taken care of. And we find that freedom from fear. And we find a great joy in our salvation. There is a third gift that you can open today without having to wait. And that is a peace that lasts. A peace that lasts. Christmas is kind of a strange time of year if you think about it, because we sing "Sleep in Heavenly Peace." But Christmas is often the least peaceful time of the year. We're running crazy and everything is chaos. The time that we celebrate the birth of the Prince of Peace is one of the most stressful times of the year. And yet, here is this angel promising peace on earth. You see in picking up the story in verse 12, "This will be a sign for you. You'll find a baby wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger. And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." Peace on earth. It's a Christmas gift that we can open that is available right now. Peace that lasts. A peace that is not, doesn't necessarily change our circumstances. But it's a calm that can fill our mind and our heart even during the worst storm. That kind of peace is not something you work up or earn. It's a gift from God, a gift that you can unwrap today, a gift that is bound up in the birth of Christ. In Romans 5, it says, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." He brings that peace between us and a holy God. Philippians 4 says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." The angels declared that day, "Now that Jesus is born, there is glory in heaven and peace on earth." When we know the one who is the Prince of Peace, we find that peace. And it's not just a peace with God. You see what it says in this verse? It's a peace of God. We find peace with Him in the Romans 5 passage, but in Philippians 4, it's the peace of God. It's a peace that comes from Him that only He can provide. A peace that passes our understanding, that doesn't make sense to us as humans. That's what Jesus was speaking to His disciples about when He said, "I have told you these things so that in Me you may have peace. In this world you'll have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. In Me you can have peace." Why don't you go ahead this morning and unwrapped that gift of peace that He offers you? You don't have to wait till Christmas. You can find peace today. Dr. James Dobson tells a story about an elderly woman named Stella Thornhope who was struggling with her first Christmas alone. Her husband had died just a few months prior from cancer. Now, several days before Christmas, she felt terribly alone. So much so that she decided she was not going to decorate for Christmas that year. Late that afternoon, the doorbell rang and there was a delivery boy with a box. He said, "Mrs. Thornhope?" She nodded. He said, "Would you sign here?" As she signed the paper, she asked, "What's in the box?" The young man laughed and opened up the flap, and inside was a little puppy. The delivery boy picked up the squirming pup and explained, "This is for you, ma'am. He is 6 weeks old, completely housebroken." The young puppy began to wiggle in happiness, being released from captivity. "Who sent this?" Mrs. Thornhope asked. The young man set the animal down and handed her an envelope and said, "It's all explained here in this envelope, ma'am. The dog was bought last July while its mother was still pregnant. It was meant to be a Christmas gift for you." In desperation, she asked again, "Who sent me this puppy?" As the young man turned to leave, he said, "Your husband, ma'am. Merry Christmas." She opened up the letter from her husband. He had written it 3 weeks before he died, left it with the kennel owners to be delivered with the puppy as his last Christmas gift to her. The letter was full of love and encouragement and admonishments to be strong. He vowed he was waiting for the day when she would join him. He had sent her this young animal to keep her company until then. She wiped away the tears and put the letter down, and then remembering the puppy at her feet, she picked up that golden furry ball and held it to her neck. And she looked out at the window at the lights that outlined the neighbor's house. She heard from the radio in the kitchen the strains of "Joy to the World, the Lord Has Come." Suddenly, Stella felt the most amazing sensation of peace washing over her. Her heart felt a joy and a wonder greater than the grief and the loneliness. "Little fella," she said to the dog, "it's just you and me. But you know what? There's a box down in the basement I'll bet you'd like. It's got a little Christmas tree in it and some decorations and some lights. There's a manger scene down there. Let's go get it." God sent His Son to be born in Bethlehem to give you some special gifts: freedom from fear, the joy of salvation, and a peace that lasts. You don't have to wait any longer to open those gifts. You can come this morning, hold out your empty hands. He'll fill them. Won't you come unwrap the gifts that He has for you today?